Ukrainian.
As far as the overwhelming majority's tendency to believe whatever authority tells them, this takes us straight back to Charlottesville. Most Americans, if you ask them what happened one day, is the Nazis descended on a town and purposely drove over a fine young woman. You were there. What did you see?
It was complete opposite. And we know that. I mean, we'll probably discuss in a minute, the Heafy report.
Yes, H-E-A-P-H-Y report. Just look it up. Heafy, Charlottesville. Yes.
Timothy Heafy. I arrived. Friends picked me up. We went to a parking lot that was some miles, 3 miles away from the venue for the event. People had been encouraged to take their cars there so as to minimize contact with the counter-protesters, which shows that the participants in the rally and their leaders were trying to avoid things like what happened. We got into shuttle buses. The police stopped the shuttle buses. They would not let the shuttle buses carry us to the venue. We were required to get off the buses and walk through the crowd of hostile people. We were trying to avoid violence. They were there to commit violence. And so I was tear gassed. I wasn't the direct target. The person in front of me was tear gassed. The tear gas came to my eyes. The police were standing around doing nothing while these Antifa were attacking people with tear gas and shouting and screaming and threatening people. And most of your viewers will have seen the one that was there with a homemade flamethrower that he would project 6 foot long.
Improvised, though, to save himself from attacks by white racists. That's what
that's.
Well, I'm just
he carried it to the venue, and the police never told him to put it away. That's a pretty. Somebody had tripped, he could have blinded somebody. This is serious stuff. You go into a crowd and you start spooking people by firing a 6 foot long spike.
Spooking, interesting choice of words there.
They can deconstruct that. They can deconstruct anything.
Yeah, but anyway. I saw it reported that he improvised valiantly and heroically, improvised this flamethrower as a result of being shot at by someone. You look at the video.
I've never seen that.
Saw that, but then I saw the footage. A guy kind of shoots at his feet after he's aiming the flamethrower.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Right.
He's trying to scare him back. Get away from me. He said he fires his gun into the ground after being threatened with the flamethrower. And the media, they talk about false news. I mean, how anyone can believe that what the mainstream media says is anything but false news in the face of things like that, I can't imagine, except they believe in authority, like we were saying, the 70-80% who will always believe what the New York Times says. You know, we saw it with the Trayvon Martin thing, where they deliberately ran an eighth grade picture of this guy who was bigger than the guy that killed him, Matt Zimmerman.
Right.
They sustained this lie. They sustained it for months. We saw how they sustained the lie of the welcoming crowds in Baghdad when we invaded Iraq. And the American media was supporting it, I think primarily because they wanted to destroy Iraq as a threat to Israel. Iraq is much less of a threat to Israel than it was before. But the media in America kept running this picture of Saddam Hussein's statue being toppled. And they would report all rosy-cheeked that we're finally getting the pictures we'd hoped, the people, the liberated people of Iraq welcoming the liberators. And here they are overthrowing, turning the statue of Saddam Hussein. The European media was showing the full square. We show that there wasn't anybody there. The square was empty. There were only about 80, 90 people there that were made to appear like it was the whole square full of people by the American media from top to bottom and in all forms, print media, broadcast media. And when you study the pictures, half of them were Americans in GI uniforms. Most of the rest of them were these people like Chalabi who came in our baggage train. But they sustained that lie for months. Just lie after lie after lie after lie. We shouldn't get away from the Heafy report. We should touch that before we move on.
Right, because I watched the live streams of Charlottesville all day. I actually saw the car event as it happened. And the first thing I watched was 15 to 20 minutes. It was one white guy attempting to get into his car in a parking lot, surrounded by hundreds of blacks and Antifa rich whites, stragglers. And they were taunting. I mean, it was, if you had seen 100 white guys doing that to a black person, that would have been Time Magazine, Newsweek, everything else. And as far as I could tell, and it was Faith Goldie who was reporting, it was right behind her when the car event happened. And there's a black, you alt-right. They were in your face, taunting, violent. I saw some of these guys who were one of these groups with shields, and they were clustered together, and people were throwing rocks, poking them, screaming. It appeared to be, I mean, Trump kind of might have understated. He said, you know, nice people and bad people on both sides. Yeah, I mean, from what I saw, it was almost entirely leftist aggression. And then maybe, I'm not really sure what happened with James Seals. I see all kinds of things. Oh, he's a Jewish plant. Who knows what happened? But it appears that he was chased with a gun right before this. There's a professor from the University of North Carolina that's on tape saying that he waved a gun at James Fields. There may be evidence that his car was already bashed up before he drove into the crowd. If anything, it appears he panicked. He was being terrorized. I mean, talk about terrorism. This guy was fearing for his life.
He did appear to panic, and there are other features of it that the media has never pointed out that argue for that. Had he wanted to kill a bunch of these counter-protesters, as the media sanitizes them by calling them, as been said many times, all he had to do was to turn the wheel, steering wheel. He could have gone along a sidewalk, and he could have gotten 100, 150 of them, like those Muslims have done in Europe. He didn't. The other thing, as I'm told, is that the speed of the car is greatly exaggerated by the fact that the camera's close up on the car. The car is actually going like 25 to 30 miles an hour. It's not very fast. So the Heafy report, this is something that has been airbrushed out by the American media. The city of Charlottesville announced that they were going to hire a former federal prosecutor named Timothy Heafy, who's a lawyer in Virginia, and he was going to do an independent investigation.
Hired by the city to do an independent.
Hired by the city.
I don't know how that works, but okay.
I've had a lifetime with lawyers, and I thought the chances of a lawyer turning in a report that would not be in favor of the people who are paying his bill is unlikely. But I got a call from this guy, and he said he wanted to interview me. And he said he wanted to interview me orally. I said, well, I'll give you a written statement. And I gave him a written statement. And to my surprise, sure, there are some honorable people left. He turned in a pretty much straight-up statement. And the Heafy Report is about 200 pages long. And he identified, in my written statement, I listed at the end of it questions that would have to be asked and answered if the report was to be legitimate. And one of them was, who gave the order to the police not to enforce the law? Because it stands to reason that with hundreds of cops from several different police agencies spread over 3 square miles, and none of them made arrests, none of them stopped the violence, that it's impossible that 400 cops independently made a decision not to enforce the law. So they had to be ordered to stand down. I said, if the report doesn't address that issue, then it won't be a legitimate report. Amazingly, it did address that issue. And he revealed the name of at least one of the guy who actually gave the direct order. I suspect it leads up to the mayor and to the governor also. But we know now that the police chief in Charlottesville ordered the police not to enforce the law and told the police that this was necessary because they needed the violence in order to shut down the Lee statue rally.
And that's not legal to tell police not to protect people.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You don't find that in the history of the civil rights movement. You talk about the Atticus Finch thing at the beginning of the interview. You can push in vain in the history of the civil rights movement in the South for a case in which a Southern sheriff or police chief issued orders to the police not to enforce the law and to allow widespread random violence against black people because we need an excuse to shut down the NAACP. Bull Connor didn't do that, but the police chief in Charlottesville did. By the way, he is the first African-American police chief in Charlottesville, or was.
And there was a black city council guy. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a separate thing. Yeah. The report went on to say that the police chief had threatened police officers to try to get them not to tell this information to Heafy. As a result of the Heafy report, the police chief had to resign. And for once, you can. So if those who want this is for the 70-80% who might by a freak accident listen to this, but it's okay. You don't have to consider the fact of the matter because NPR did, National Public Radio did cover the Heafy report. They covered it on All Things Considered and revealed. They interviewed two members of the NAACP American in Charlottesville who explained that the chief was being fired because of the massive racism that African Americans face in Charlottesville every moment of their lives. That was the report on the Heafy report.
Oh, that's why he resigned, because it was too much anti-blackness.
All things considered. Wow. Yeah, that he was just sacked. He was just railroaded, and there was no report about this remarkable thing that you have a police chief ordering that violence be allowed, that the flamethrower be allowed to practice his craft on people, and all this so as to give a pretext to deny American citizens their First Amendment rights. That Michelle Norris and Robert Speer and all of the others on NPR, they weren't interested. They know that's the fact, because they're not like the other 70-80%. They're the willful, deliberate liars. They're lying for their ethnic groups is what they're doing. They're lying so that their ethnic groups can have advantage over us.